is Express FM.
Supported by Southern Co-op. We are Passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Header from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
So far, so good for the Cowley brothers.
And Danny Cowley has tasted victory in his first match in charge of Portsmouth. They've beaten Ipswich Town by 2-1.
Danny and Nicky secured victory in their first game in charge last weekend as the Blues came from behind to see off Ipswich Town at PO4. And with no midweek match penciled in this week, the Pompey head coach is looking forward to his second game tomorrow following an important few days on the training pitch.
It's been a valuable week. It's been some good time on the training field. And again, I go back to the players' attitudes. Really humble, really hardworking, really keen to learn. So it's been a good start.
I'll be joined live this evening by Dean Adams and Freddie Webb to talk all things Pompey until 7 o'clock, including a preview of this weekend's trip to Shrewsbury. What do you think the score will be tomorrow afternoon? Can you see Pompey's attacking outlets thriving under the guidance of the Cowley duo? And would you welcome the appointment of a director of football at Fratton Park? Get in touch over the course of the next 60 minutes or so to have your messages read out on air. It's Friday, it's 6 o'clock. You're tuned in to Express FM and this is the Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and once again a warm welcome to tonight's instalment of the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the Stagecoach app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to plan and even pay for your next ride. And please ensure that you are wearing a face covering throughout your entire journey too, unless of course you are medically exempt. We've got a full preview of this weekend's game up in Shrewsbury coming up this evening, and we'll also be going through the headlines from this week on the South Coast. We'll discuss the vision laid out by Danny Cowley as he prepares to steer this ship on course for the Championship. We'll be weighing up the options the head coach has to select from for tomorrow's match, and we'll also talk about Pompey's attacking players and how it could benefit from the management of an attacking coach with an intense fighting spirit. 81400 is the number to text if you'd like to get in touch tonight, putting the word Express at the start of those. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at ExpressFM, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Last time out, the Blues were led out at Fratton Park for the first time under the influence of new gaffer Danny Cowley. He welcomed an Ipswich Town side managed by former Pompey boss Paul Cook. Both teams were desperate for a win, with 3 points to either side going a long way in deciding the direction of their final quarter of the season. This encounter between the Blues and the Tractor Boys was called to you by Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
It's a new era against a team that will provide memories of the previous one. Danny Cowley on the touchline this afternoon as the new Portsmouth manager, Kenny Jackett's replacement, taking on the man who preceded him. There's no pre-season for the new boss. There's very little time to turn things around. Just 12 matches as the Blues attempt to arrest the slide, which has seen them as an automatic promotion contender and then drop to 10th in the table. Even a playoff place looks far from straightforward from here. Here we go then. Portsmouth in their huddle to the left, going from left to right. Ipswich, they'll go from right to left, kicking towards the Fratton end in this first half. Raggett yet again wins it in the air. Here's Cannon, and Cannon loses possession, and Ipswich drive forward. This is a good run from Bishop, and Bishop into the area looking for Norwood. The angle's against him, tries to pull it back. Bennett loose in the 6-yard box. McGilvery falls on it. 0-0. Ipswich drive forward. Brown with the challenge. It stops the progress of Edwards, but Ipswich will pick it up once more, and Bishop goes short in field and into the area. Norwood's got away from Raggett. It's a chance for Norwood, and it's a goal for Ipswich. Norwood has just fired that into the back of the net past Craig McGilvery. And with 31 minutes on the clock, it's Portsmouth 0, Ipswich 1.
And it's going to be a right-footed in-swinger to come. Portsmouth in two trains of two to come from deep. Now they break, whipped in towards the near post.
Headed from Raggett into the net, or is it Naylor? It's Naylor who's got it. And Portsmouth have got the equaliser 5 minutes before the break. Wonderful delivery from Curtis. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era. Portsmouth 1, Ipswich Town 1.
Naylor brings it over halfway on that left-hand side. Down the touchline to Brown. Good skill to keep it in play. Infield to Jacobs. To Curtis in the area. Lovely build-up. Curtis to pull it back. Into the middle. Nobody there. Harness arriving. Blocked. Harness again. Scores at the second attempt.
And Marcus Harness has turned things around for Portsmouth. He's not scored in the league since October. And at the second bite of the cherry, Harness drills it into the bottom corner. Portsmouth 2, Ipswich 1.
Corner to the far post, Raggett the target, back across goal.
Loose and saved by Holy. What a chance for James Bolton to end this contest. He couldn't do so as Brown lets the ball bounce, and it was a good decision. It goes all the way through to Craig McGilvery. And Danny Cowley has tasted victory in his first match in charge of Portsmouth. They've beaten Ipswich Town by 2-1, and Pompey come from behind to win a game for the first time in almost 2 years.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there from last week's League One fixture at home to Ipswich, where the Blues came from 1-0 down to claim a 2-1 victory. That result pushed Pompey up to 7th in the table. However, Blackpool's 3-1 win against Peterborough at Bloomfield Road has elevated them up into the playoffs and dumped the Blues down to 8th. OK, let's get straight into the thick of it now then. And joining me tonight, first of all, is Dean Adams, sports broadcast journalist, having covered games for the likes of Sky Sports and the BBC. And he also once worked for Pompey too, overseeing academy recruitment at Fratton Park. Dean, good evening to you, mate. Pleasure to have you back on the show.
Evening, Jake. Good to talk to you.
And we won't talk too much about last Saturday, Dean. You know, we pretty much covered that on Monday night. But, you know, before we do move on with the conversation this evening, let's get your overall feelings right now then. You know, new management, a new style of football, a completely different feeling around the place right now. An exciting time to be a Pompey supporter at the moment.
Yeah, when we were lucky to be there last week, weren't we? And when I saw you on Saturday, there was sort of renewed enthusiasm, hunger, even in the media box. It just felt different. And I was pro Kenny Jackett. He's had a great CV and I've always backed him. But we got to a point where a change had to be made. And what I will say about last Saturday, and I know you don't want to talk about that too much, but I think we won the game last Saturday pre-match because you watch the pre-match routine. The Cowley brothers are on the pitch. They had the pads, pans, their iPads. They were there stopping play pre-game. They were talking to the players. They were correcting things. There was intensity. And the players took that pre-game straight into the game. And that, I think that's how we won it, was pre-game. It was different.
To be honest, Dean, you know, totally agree with you there. You know, we saw a completely different approach to that match on Saturday. And it's something we picked up on after the defeat at the Doncaster a few weeks back. Myself and Ryan went up to the Keepermoat Stadium for that one. And, you know, before the game, you could see, but Doncaster, even, you know, having lost Darren Moore to Sheffield Wednesday, you know, pre-game, they just had such a higher intensity about their you know, their training after the match. They were still going through their, you know, intense drills to warm themselves down and to really improve on things, but they'd perhaps lacked in that match. So, yeah, like you say, totally spot on. And, you know, with the Cowley brothers coming in now, like you say, it's kind of renewed that enthusiasm right now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
And would you say that even if promotion isn't achieved this season, with the Cowley brothers in charge, if they can continue with what they showed last week, some positive attacking football, saying and doing the right things in the media, do you think they've got a future here at Fratton Park beyond the end of this season?
Yeah, 100%. It felt, I know it's only been a week, but it feels like a breath of fresh air. It's completely different. It's given a completely different feel to the whole club. And I think that's brilliant. And we have to give people time. And yeah, let's stick with them. Let's back them. Even if we hadn't won last week, if it was a draw, we'd lost. But we played the way we did, I would have been happy. Yeah. It was just different. And it was a lot better.
Yeah. OK, journalist and Blues fan Freddie Webb also calls in tonight. Freddie is an editor and writer for Pompey News Now and co-host of the PO Forecast. Freddie, thanks for joining us this evening. Great to hear from you again, mate.
Always a pleasure, Jake. Lovely to be on.
So, Freddie, 3 points and a big win over Ipswich last time out. Did you notice a big change in Pompey's approach to that game? You know, we mentioned to KV the warm-ups on the pitch before the match at Fratton Park, but even kind of the aura around the fan base in the night leading up to the game. It was this time last week, but Danny Cowley was announced as the new head coach at Pompey. Could you see, could you tell that there was kind of that renewed enthusiasm around the club?
Oh, exactly. From maybe the fifth minute in, I could tell that there was a positive approach again. There was proactive thinking. All the players were pressing aggressively, trying to get onto the ball. And you could tell from all the players that there's a renewed vigour in this club again. On the 85th minute, you could hear John Marquis shouting from the stands to support the players to keep going and continue to press high in the 90th minute. That wouldn't have happened 2 weeks ago, I'm sure. So, yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a breath of fresh air.
If we're being honest, Freddie, John Marquis shouting from the stands, that, I promise you now, that wasn't just the 80th minute onwards. That was constant throughout the entire game, John Marquis. It was, wasn't it? It was. But no, you know, you're correct in saying that there is just a totally different feeling around the club right now. And a tweet in from Shinnery after the game on Saturday, he said, "I don't know if I speak for all Pompey fans, but that was the first time we took a lead into the last 10 minutes and felt confident that we'd hold it." Freddie, again, like you were saying, you had that kind of confidence in the last 5 or 6 or 7 minutes of that game, going in with a narrow lead against a very good team managed by an experienced manager as well. Previous weeks, previous months, you probably wouldn't have felt so confident going into that final period of the game, would you? Especially given our record of going behind or being level at half-time. We don't really seem to pick up results having gone behind, do we? So, yeah, just that renewed confidence about the game as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That record was in my mind. It's that record of not winning a game from going 1-0 down from Easter Monday of 2019. That was said all over the place, and that wasn't on my mind in the 85th minute when Portsmouth, it didn't sit back there like they usually do. Yes, 2 years ago with a different back four, it would have worked, but it hasn't worked for the past two seasons when Portsmouth have dropped deep and invited pressure. It's created too many chances for the opposition. I'm so glad they didn't do that today. Because I think that would have played right into Ipswich's hands. So that change, again, like so many other things, was grateful to see.
Yeah. Roger in Gosport on the text, he's got involved. Good evening to you, Roger. Great to hear from you. He says, "Good evening, Jake. The Blues look like a different players now. The Cowley brothers are in as the new managers. I heard Shrewsbury will be without their goalkeeper, hopefully to our advantage. I also think Ryan Williams brings a lot to the side. Going for a 2-0 victory. Keep the faith, Roger and Gosport." And Roger mentions there within his text, Dean, Ryan Williams, a player who I thought ran his absolute socks off last Saturday against Ipswich. And, okay, you know, it's fair to say that the entire squad put in 110% effort last weekend. I'm not doubting that by any stretch of the imagination. But Ryan Williams, just a complete different animal. And under the Cowleys, with the style of play we saw last weekend, it really suited him and he really came out of his shell. We know he's a great player, but I think he might be able to really capitalise on the fact that we've got this new setup now.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of differences between a lot of the players. I think Ryan Williams, firstly, he's very underrated. He does a lot of that work off the ball and the running and the hard work. He does need to add the extra goal or the extra assist to his game. We all know that, but he's a very underrated player and he's one of our key players and we need him up there and doing sort of all the hard work. I think a lot of players are going to flourish under him. Harness, the way they've been training this week, the higher intensity in the training as well, the players are going to be more tired. They would have come off Saturday night absolutely shattered. But I can see massive improvements in the players' games, all of them.
Yeah. Kevin Meredith on Facebook, he's got involved tonight. He says, "We've got a fair chance of the playoffs. If we're losing them, fair enough. The Cowleys need 2 years to get in their own team." Michael Charlton is also feeling confident. He's got in touch. He says, "Would be really good for the existing team to go up via the playoffs. Remember, Cowleys can seriously rebuild, ready for the championship." And Spencer Calvert, he says, "I'll predict 8 wins from the last 11 and finish fourth and get Lincoln in the playoff semi-finals. It's going to happen," says Spencer on Facebook. And a question I put out there on Monday night, Freddie, we touched on it a little bit. With the Cowley brothers coming in, OK, you know, it's been a week. We've seen one game. That's not necessarily, you know, going to dictate how the next 11 are going to unfold. But from the kind of general you know, feeling we've got and from what we've seen so far, would promotion be what we are? It's what we're aiming for, of course, but would that be the pinnacle and what the kind of target is for the Cowleys if they want to stay on in the summer, if the board, Mark Catlin, the Irishans, want to keep them on board for an extra season or two? Do you think that if we don't go up, if we get the playoffs and narrowly miss out, even if we finish seventh, but, you know, performances are picking up, do you think that these guys are going to be here for the long term? We certainly heard in the week that Danny Cowley is preparing for the next 10 years, so why not?
Yeah, I would be very sad if promotion was the reason, for example, if the Cowleys don't get extended.
Yeah.
Yes, there are a lot more games, and we're going to see a lot more of how Portsmouth are going to work under the Cowleys, and we are only speculating off a week. But personally, for me anyway, my expectation of promotion ended after the Northampton game, which we'll gloss over and never mention ever again. but since then, really, all I'm looking for is just a long-term vision and some long-term development. And as Danny said multiple times, the ability to make a long-term tactical philosophy. And I think he could do that, even if it's only 11 games left.
And we'll come
I believe
on
in the long term,
yeah,
he can definitely do that, absolutely.
Definitely, and I think we'll come on to the long-term vision that Danny Cowley and his brother Nicky Cowley are setting out after the break. And when we do return, we'll hear the pre-match thoughts of the head coach, who talks about the style of play he's hoping to implement at Pompey, as well as the importance of a close connection between him and the squad.
Doesn't matter who we're playing against, you know, for us, our principles and the way we want the game to be played is very clear, and we want that fast, attacking, aggressive style, both in possession and obviously out of possession. So no, we've been trying to embed that, and it's really just to get that joined up thinking with the players so that we can all see the game through the same lens.
And there's still loads of time for you to get involved with the conversation this evening. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Include at ExpressFM on Twitter, visit facebook.com/PompeyLive, or send an email into Pompey@ExpressFM.com. I'll be back with Dean and Freddie to continue our look ahead to Pompey's trip to Shrewsbury. So stick around and don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Football Hour here on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to Express FM and the Friday Football Hour, brought to you this evening by Stagecoach Across the South, getting you from A to B all along the South Coast and through Hampshire, whilst keeping you safe and doing their bit for the environment. To find out more at stagecoachbus.com. I'm going to bring Dean and Freddie back into the conversation now. We're going to resume our Pompey chat by going through some interesting developments since we last came on air on Monday night. And this is all via our good friends and colleagues at the Portsmouth News, who have been doing their digging this week. They've been talking to Danny Cowley and Chief Executive Mark Catlin, who have revealed to the Pompey supporters their long-term blueprint with the Cowley brothers at the helm. This includes the possible appointment of a Director of Football at Fratton Park, more emphasis on the academy. There's also been a structure erected at the training ground for Danny Cowley and his assistant Nicky to watch back some training sessions. In fact, I say some training sessions, all training sessions that they take part in during their time here at the club. There's plenty to dig into, Dean, and, you know, really going forward with the Cowley brothers, what their long-term vision here is at Fratton Park. We'll first of all touch upon the possible appointment of a Director of Football, which we've not seen at the club for quite a few years now, and I think this was first of all highlighted this time last week when it was announced that Danny Cowley was going to take charge of the team until the end of the season. But his official title at the club is head coach and not manager. Now, of course, you've been in and around the game. You've followed Pompey for a lot more years than I have. You know, you've seen how clubs elsewhere work as well. What is the difference between a head coach and a manager, Ben Dean? Why is there a change in that title?
To be fair, I don't think there really is much difference between the two. I think a head coach has that title and he's more mostly based on the training pitch. We said like pre-game, the Cowley brothers were both on the game, both on the pitch pre-match. They're a little bit more of the old-fashioned tracksuit manager and a little bit more hands-on, whereas Kenny would be suited and booted and would be on the touch lines. And Kenny was a bit more standoffish like that. I don't know. I don't think there's too much difference between job titles. I don't think the job titles mean anything too much, to be honest. I think the fact they're talking about a director of football, I hope the Cowley brothers have a big say in that. because usually what scares me is when you get a director of football come in, sometimes it's a bit of them against the manager, and it's a little bit, it can be a little bit different, and I've seen it, and it's not good. So from where I'm sitting, I'm hoping the Cowley brothers have a massive say in who's appointed as director of football.
Yeah. And on the topic of a director of football, Freddie, as much as, you know, Dean highlights there about the possible negative points to that, but on a positive, it's also a man, you know, kind of in between the manager, the CEO, Mark Catlin, who has a say in transfers and recruitment at the club as well. Is this something, in your opinion, that Pompey have lacked over the last few seasons, or do you think that actually transfer business over the last couple of years has been pretty good itself anyway?
In terms of the signings, it's been fairly decent. I think there are very few complete misses from Kenny Jacket. But the key thing about a director of football coming to Portsmouth is there has to be a sync between him and the manager. I follow ice hockey, where they've had general managers and head coaches since day dot. And there are always problems when people in those two positions don't get on. The positive thing, if a director of football comes in, will be it be another person to implement that long-term philosophy, long-term ideas, and just be another voice to bounce ideas off, and another person with connections. So absolutely, it was mentioned earlier that yes, the Cowleys should have a lot of say in who is the director of football.
Yeah.
I do think it will benefit Portsmouth in the long term if the right person's appointed.
Moving on to the academy side of things, Dean, you know, again, we've heard from the Cowleys in the week as well, doing their press bits. They've said they want to look into the academy. They want to try and strengthen Pompey's chances from a younger age as well. And we'll hear the pre-match thoughts of Danny in a few moments' time. But, OK, I've listened to it. He already mentions the fact that he's been to visit a few academy training sessions from a social distance. Of course, he's not quite in the same bubble as them at the moment. But really emphasising What a change he's having at the club already. He's really getting himself stuck into the way things work at Pompey. He's moved down to the city. He's moved out of a hotel and into the flat with his brother Nicky. They're really getting involved and really getting their head stuck into this now. And by taking such an interest into the academy, hopefully we'll see more players come through into the first team, like we have seen in previous years with Jack Watmore, Ben Close, Brandon Houndstrup, of course. And, you know, there are many more names to put out there as well. Hadji Minoga this season in particular. Can you see past this season, of course, again, speculation, if the Cowley brothers do extend their time at Fratton Park, can you see this academy structure improving under their guidance?
I can, yeah. And I think more than them so, I think the director of football is the one that oversees the academy, the first team. The director of football is the one that sees the whole football operation side of things. But for me, for the Cowley brothers to turn up at the academy training, I was at Portsmouth for a year. I never saw the first team ever involved in the academy. They never once turned up to anything I was involved in. So to have the Cowley brothers turn up in their first week, that gives a massive boost to the kids as well to see the first team management there. And it's great if one or two of the first team players are floating about and get involved. But for them to have that much involvement in their first week, from the academy right the way through to the first team to looking long term, is incredible. It's absolutely brilliant. And that's what, as a supporter, that's what you want to hear.
Yeah. Charlie McAvery on Facebook, he says, I say they just came in at a difficult time. Let's just see how they get on with the remaining games, promotion or playoffs or not. I'll still support my team. Charlie McAvery there on Facebook. And we're speaking about the vision that, you know, the Cowleys have laid out now, Freddie. And something which has popped up in the last 24 hours, some pictures on social media, that a structure has been erected at the training ground, for the Cowleys to analyse their training sessions with the first team. And Danny's come out and said that he will be rewatching every single video to try and pick up on things that he can improve as a head coach, and things that he's enjoyed seeing, so he can, I guess, remember for the team selection that week as well. There's plenty of benefits from having this structure at the training ground. And are you surprised this hasn't been done sooner, recording training sessions? Is this something that a lot of teams up and down the country do, or is this innovative from Danny Cowley?
I'm really surprised it wasn't done previously. I don't see why you wouldn't at least take a cursory glance at every single training session after it's done, if you're the manager. It's definitely something that teams around the Premier League and higher echelons of the Championship do, almost certainly. The Cowleys reference multiple times how much video they actually watch. And they do that to, as you said, pick up on little characteristics, little tactical nuances that they can implement on the pitch. And then they do that with scouting as well. And more importantly, opposition analysis as well. So it keeps on going and going. But yeah, it can only benefit Portsmouth to have that little bit extra video analysis in.
Yeah. A tweet in from this week from Ethan. He says, couldn't have asked for an easier run-in. If we play like we did against Ipswich for the next 11 games, there should be no reason why we cannot get a playoff position, says Ethan there on Twitter. And to get involved like Ethan there, simply text your name and message to 81400, starting with the word Express. You can tweet using @ExpressFM, email pompey@expressfm.com, or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. And before we get through any more of those, we're going to take a listen to some of the pre-match words given by Danny Cowley to the Pompey media team this week. The Blues head coach starts by emphasising how important this week has been, with no Tuesday night fixture interrupting his training schedule.
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It's come at a really good time for everybody, really, to have the full week, to get on the grass with the players, to get to build relationships. For Nicky and I, it's always, you know, to try to build a relationship, build the trust. Once the players start to know that you have their best interests at heart, then you can start to add to their game. And it's been a valuable week. It's been some good time on the training field, and again, I go back to the players' attitudes, really humble, really hard working, really keen to learn. So no, it's been a good start.
You said around the Ipswich game that you didn't want to overload them with information. Now that you've had a bit more time, what sort of things have you and Nicky been able to implement, and how have the players responded to that?
No, I think that's really important. I think the skill for Nicky and I is to prioritise where the quick wins are, and where we can get some major gains in terms of performance. And yeah, that's certainly what we've been trying to do this week. Just really for us, it's always about our principles and concepts. It doesn't matter who we're playing against. You know, for us, our principles and the way we want the game to be played is very clear, and we want that fast, attacking, aggressive style, both in possession and obviously out of possession. So we've been trying to embed that, and it's really just to get that joined up thinking with the players so that we can all see the game through the same lens. And yeah, ultimately all the work we do on the training field is just to help the players to try, you know, our aim is always to make them better, but really just to help the players and connect up some of those partnerships and relationships to hopefully set the team up to be successful.
Looking ahead to Saturday, what do you know about Shrewsbury and what sort of preparation have you been doing for them?
Well, I think firstly, I'd just like, on behalf of everyone at Portsmouth Football Club, just to wish Steve Cottrell well. Steve's not someone that I know particularly well, but I know that he loves football, and anyone that loves football is always all right by me. And he's obviously been through a really, really tough time. So I just wanted to send our support to him. And like I said, not just from Nicky and myself, but everybody associated with the club. And we wish him good health moving forward.
Yeah, and he has done a fantastic job this season in difficult personal circumstances, and Shrewsbury have gained a bit of reputation for beating some of the big teams in this league, so I'm sure you won't be underestimating them.
No, definitely not. I think he's done an incredible job in him really testing in the most testing circumstances, and credit to himself and his staff for doing that and getting through this difficult period as well as they have. Our ambition is always, you know, we're Portsmouth Football Club, our ambition every week is to win, you know, and we will always set the team up to try to win. You know, I think you often as a manager get asked about objectives and goals for the team. I think a really nice goal for our team is to try to start every week and with the ambition to win the game at the end of the week. So that's certainly what we'll be looking to do, but we won't be underestimating Shrewsbury. I think they're a very good team. They've had some fantastic results against the top teams in the division, the Peterboroughs, the Sunderlands, drew with Hull just recently. They obviously got a good win midweek, which we were able to watch. So we're clear on Shrewsbury. We understand how they want to play. They're very, very good at a defensive transition. They fill up very quickly with a back five. They make it difficult for you to penetrate through that back five. And I think the great challenge for us is that we've got to find some ways and try to give the group some ideas on how we can create chances, because probably in recent times that has been a challenge for the group, and we spent a lot of time this week looking at our chance creation.
Head coach Danny Cowley there speaking to Ollie Marsh from the Pompey media team earlier this week to preview tomorrow's trip to Shrewsbury Town. We're going to move forward now and take a closer look ourselves at this weekend's game with myself, Dean, and Freddie Webb. And looking ahead to tomorrow's game, then, Dean, we'll start off with you. Shrewsbury Town away from home, 17th in the table. We'll come on and hear from Mason Jordan in the next part of the show. He takes a closer look at, you know, the kind of threat they're going to pose to Pompey tomorrow afternoon. But, you know, albeit their league position, they've climbed somewhat under the influence of Steve Cottrell, who, like Danny mentioned in the interview there, we also send our highest regards to him and really hope that he overcomes his problems fighting COVID and pneumonia. Really pleased to hear that he is now out of hospital again. But looking at Shrewsbury, they've picked up some results against some top teams in this division. They've climbed really out of that relegation dogfight. And they're looking like a pretty decent outfit as well. So not a team to underestimate this weekend.
No, as you said, they're 17th, but I wouldn't read anything into that because some of that, they've had one or two iffy results, but you look at their results in general since Steve Cottrell was appointed. And I know he's not really been there, but his management team have been, and he still had a big influence on these games. And the results they've had have been incredible. And they're not a 17th position sort of in the table side. They're a lot higher than that. And Saturday's game, tomorrow's game is going to be really, really tough.
Yeah, and we mentioned Steve Cottrell as well, Freddie. And since Steve Cottrell was appointed at Shrewsbury towards the start of this season, they've picked up 37 points from 21 matches. They've acquired 4 wins from 8 at home, 6 out of 11 away from home. And if the league had started when Cottrell was appointed, Shrewsbury would be 7th in the table. And it goes to highlight, really, the impact he has had at the club, albeit a lot of that time actually from hospital bed as well. So really puts into perspective the kind of manager, the experience that Steve Cottrell's got. And, you know, like myself and Dean have just mentioned there, against the top sides, they can really perform on their day. And I wouldn't put it past them to pull off a shock tomorrow.
No, absolutely. Steve Cottrell's definitely built on the strengths that this side had last season. They were very good defensively last season and they're even better defensively this season. I've looked at their goals conceded, 39 goals conceded with expected goals against, 47.5. So they're defensively very, very strong. I really rate Aaron Pierre and Ethan Inbanks-Lendl as a centre-half partnership. And they're going to do what Portsmouth have struggled against so far this season. They're going to sit back in their shape and look to hit Portsmouth on the counter-attack. And we've seen it a lot of times. Portsmouth struggle to break down very structured defences like that. So it's going to be a tough game on Saturday.
Yeah. Ryan Lewis on Twitter has got involved. He says it's going to be harder than people think. Shrewsbury have a habit of getting results against the big teams this season. I just think the feel-good factor around the club at the moment will spur the players on and get the job done. A big run of wins needed. Ryan Lewis there on Twitter, who's also added a score prediction. We'll rebound out towards the end of the show, Ryan. And within that tweet, Dean, Ryan mentions the feel-good factor around the club right now. Going forward to tomorrow's game at Shrewsbury and in the 10 games that will follow that between now and the end of the season, of course, the tactical changes that Danny Cowley is going to implement into the squad now and, you know, the kind of enthusiasm he's going to bring to that team as well. Do you think that getting this or getting a run of wins together starting last week, hopefully continuing tomorrow, will spur the players on to actually, you know, give them a real good chance of finishing inside the top six or, dare I say it, the top two?
Yeah, this season's been a bit of a strange one because, as Freddie said earlier, when we got to the Northampton game and that one had finished, you'd sort of written off the season. And at the moment, you sort of feel as though promotion's a little bit of a bonus. But we've got to forget about other teams. We've got to focus on ourselves. And if we pick up points, we can be up there. What I noticed massively was it's not just the feel-good factor between us in the media box, the fans. There is that feel-good factor. But there was a tweet that went round in the week of Marcus Harness's goal last weekend. And I think the camera angle was from an Ipswich camera down Craig's End, sort of near the goal. And when Harness scored and all the players were running, celebrating, you saw Sean Raggett and Jack Whatmore run towards each other at the back and hug. And to see that between the players, it was different. And we haven't seen that lately.
Yeah. Do you think Freddie as well, you know, agreeing with Dean there, that the kind of cohesion within the squad has perhaps been lacking this season? We've been told on plenty of occasions by, you know, the former management that's not an issue. But is it clear now to see that now that Cowleys have come in, now that there is that different feel around the place right now, do you think that may have been a little bit, yeah, a little bit wrong? Do you think maybe now the team are starting, not to gel, of course, but to really show their fighting spirit under a new gaffer? Do you think it needed that kind of change just to freshen things up a bit?
Oh, absolutely. The players definitely needed that change. It was getting stale beforehand. And I think a lot of players needed a clean slate, especially where players in interviews talk about it all the time. When the form's bad and the performances aren't going well and there are individual errors on the pitch, they overthink a lot of things and don't play, and just generally don't play as well. So a new approach, a new style of play, and just a clean slate that mistakes will happen and they're not the end of the world compared to last time, I think it's given them a massive lift.
Yeah. Okay, you have just under 20 minutes to get your final text, tweets and emails into the panel this evening. We're now asking for your team lineups and score predictions for this weekend's game. Text your name and message starting with the word Express. Send those to 81400. Include at ExpressFM on Twitter, visit facebook.com/PompeyLive, or send an email in to Pompey@ExpressFM.com. The three of us will be returning very shortly to take a closer look at tomorrow's clash with Shrewsbury, and we'll also be hearing again from Danny Cowley, who believes there is no excuse for his side not to get a result this weekend, despite having a handful of players out through injury and international call-ups.
I think it's easy for managers to make excuses about injuries and about unavailability, but I'd much rather be a positive person and look at what I do have. And what we do have is some really good players, some fantastic quality at the top end. We have lots of good players at this football club, and we won't be the only team in this condensed season with some injury issues. And the job for all of us is to try to find a way to overcome that.
Join us again for the conclusion of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back for the final time tonight to the Football Hour here on Express FM. Supported this season by Stagecoach Across the South. I'm joined over the powers of the internet this evening by Dean Adams and Freddie Webb to look ahead to this weekend's League One fixture between Pompey and Shrewsbury at the Montgomery Waters Meadow Stadium. And we're going to continue our preview of that game by handing you over to Mason Jordan, who has the lowdown on the Shrews.
This weekend, it's time for Chapter 2 of the Cowley brothers' mission to get Pompey's season back on track. And it's time for their first Blues away day. It's Shrewsbury Town who await.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Match day 36 of this League One season, and it serves as a chance for the new head coach, Danny Cowley, to record back-to-back victories, with 3 points likely to see the Blues back into the top six after the state of play in League One. Let's take a dive now into what we know about this week's challenge. The Shrews
manager.
Much like last week's battle with Ipswich at Fratton Park, Danny Cowley's opposite member will once again come in the form of ex-Blues gaffer, 56-year-old Steve Cottrell, who managed Pompey in their first season in the Championship following Premier League relegation in 2010, is now the Shrewsbury Town boss. Since leaving the South Coast in 2011, Cottrell has managed Nottingham Forest, Bristol City and Birmingham before dropping down to take charge of Shrewsbury last summer following a two-year hiatus. The Cheltenham-born boss has a win percentage of 45 at the New Meadow, though has spent a lot of time this season in hospital battling COVID-19 and pneumonia. Fortunately, he has recently been allowed to return home following his latest scare, which we all sincerely hope will be his last.
One to watch.
Our one to watch this week is Captain Ollie Norburn. The Grenadian international, who stars in midfield for Shrewsbury, will be wearing the number 8 shirt. Norburn has a range of Football League experience, previously running out for the likes of Bristol Rovers, Plymouth Argyle and Tranmere Rovers. The 28-year-old has 3 goals from 28 appearances this season and is just 1 yellow card away from a suspension, having already picked up 9 bookings since the start of the campaign. It might be in our favour that he could be treading lightly this weekend.
Top scorer.
There are currently 2 Shrewsbury players tied as the club's leading scorers in League One this season. Both Sean Worley and Harry Chapman have netted 6 each so far this term, though Worley has registered registered 5 assists compared to Chapman 0. These are both midfielders, however Worley is 33 years of age and wears the number 7 shirt, whereas Chapman is a 23-year-old loanee from Blackburn Rovers who adorns the squad number 32.
Current form.
Since Steve Cotterill took charge of the Shrews, his side have picked up 37 points from 21 matches, having acquired 4 wins from 8 at home and 6 wins out of 11 on the road. Now, to put that form into context, if the league had started when Cotterill's appointed, Shrewsbury would be in 7th place. More recently, however, the Shrews are on a 4-game unbeaten streak, claiming victories away to Rochdale and Burton, either side of consecutive draws with Charlton and Hull. Overall, they are 17th in the league standings and 12 points clear of the relegation zone, with 3 games in hand on Bristol Rovers in 21st and only 10 points off the playoffs, having played the same amount of games as Blackpool in 6th. Can Danny Cowley pick up his 2nd win as Blues boss, or will Steve Cotterill be this week's pantomime villain and pick up points against his former employer? All the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
Mason Jordan there with a closer look at Shrewsbury Town, Pompey's next opponent in League One. Let's take a closer look at Shrewsbury then, Threddy. We spoke before the break about the need to not underestimate this side, but who in their team will you be looking out for this weekend in particular?
Oh, there are a lot of options. On our podcast, we chatted to a Shrewsbury fan from the South, Carson. He pointed out Nathaniel Ogbetter, one of their fullbacks, who has given them a much better way of attacking from out wide, which I think is where they're going to get a lot of their chances from. And also Ollie Norburn in the centre of midfield. He's one of their better players. He's very, very good at winning the ball back. They can also pick out a pass going forward.
Yeah. And for Pompey, Dean, after a week of training, we heard briefly from Danny Cowley. We'll hear the rest of his interview very shortly. But we know that he's looking forward to this game. And I think all Pompey fans are. After last week's improvement at Fratton Park, based on the fact that, you know, the Cowley brothers at the time had only taken one training session. They'd only met with the squad once or twice on the Friday and, of course, prior to kickoff on Saturday. Do you think that having no midweek fixture this week, this Tuesday night, just gone, will benefit Pompey tomorrow afternoon against Shrewsbury? OK, they've not played a game either, but the fact that we find ourselves in this position with a new management team, do you think it's benefited them having that whole week of training just to start afresh and get going and implement their own sort of ideas? If we saw that performance against Ipswich on Saturday after one training session, who knows what we're going to see tomorrow after 3, 4 or 5?
Yeah, I don't know if the players were in on Wednesday or whether they had a full working week with the new management, but I think not having that midweek game would have been brilliant. The players would have worked hard at training, and I think tomorrow is such a big game, and I think the management would have put across their ideas to the players. The key thing for me is before they even had a phone call from Mark Catlin about being offered the job, I think Danny Cowley came out and said he'd watched something like 20-odd Portsmouth games on a video. So to watch all those games before he's even had a phone call, he's done his homework before he's even been offered the job. Mm. And that's incredible. So he knows about the players.
Yeah. Let's look ahead to Pompey's squad that are available to Danny Cowley to select from this weekend then. And we're hearing that Callum Johnson has returned to full first-team training this week, which is great news for Danny Cowley as he selects his side for the trip to Shrewsbury tomorrow. Unfortunately, John Marquis is still a major doubt for the Blues, as is Ellis Harrison, we believe, as well. So still lacking those striking options. Jordy Hawula, the only recognised forward at this present moment in time. But the good news is, Freddie, that Callum Johnson is back in training and we could see him within the starting lineup tomorrow.
That's a big inclusion if he's fit enough to start. For me, he's been Portsmouth's best transfer from this summer. Very, very underrated player. Goes under the radar of how good he is going forward. He's got an excellent cross on him if Portsmouth rely on that. And he's definitely mobile enough to work those wide triangles that the Cowleys have mentioned a lot in the videos before taking over.
Yeah, and back to some of the players which featured last week, Dean. We spoke off air before coming onto the show tonight about, you know, Ben Close in particular, who really had a great game off the bench last weekend against Ipswich. I don't think that is argued by any Pompey fan this week. Ben Close had a fantastic match against Ipswich. And do you think him in particular, but also looking at other attacking players within this side, but like Roland Curtis, Marcus Harness, we touched upon previously, Ryan Williams, do you think they're going to be given a new lease of life under this new management team. We'll highlight Ben Close in particular there.
Yeah, Ben Close, I think he's underrated. I like Ben Close. And when he came on in the cup final last week and the week before last, sorry, and last week when he came on under the Cowleys, he's looked class. I think we're going to miss John Marquis tomorrow. It looks like he's out. Obviously, Ronan's not there either. I think the big player for us tomorrow could be Michael Jacobs. I think he could be really key tomorrow. We did look a little bit light up front last week with Geordie up there. I think when John Marquis comes back, he could thrive under the new management. I think all the players will be up for it tomorrow. The thing that worries me is if Jack... I'm not going to sort of diss Jackett too much, but if Jackett was in charge tomorrow, I think you'd see Callum Johnson coming in for James Bolton.
Yeah.
Under the Cowleys, he likes momentum and he likes that momentum within the players and the spirit. I don't think James Bolton, especially as we won the first game, I don't think James Bolton would be dropped for Callum Johnson on Saturday.
I'm going to get to a few more text tweets and emails before we do move on, lads. Mike T and Selsey on the text. Hi, Jake, Wayne, the lads. Looking forward to hopefully seeing Pompey turn the screws on the Shrews. Get the Jaffa Cakes at the ready, Mike T and Selsey. Mike, you can count on me. Graham Snow on the emails. I'm really excited about Pompey at the moment, especially with the Cowleys, who like to play attacking football. I'd also like to wish Joe Hancock all the best at Bognor Regis. Yep, we echo those thoughts, Graham Snow. And his prediction tomorrow is Pompey 2-0 winners against Shrewsbury. I'm confident of a result as the Cowleys have had a week to work with the players, Graham Snow, who also continues by saying it's nice to see that they've taken an interest into the academy, having watched the under-8s to the under-15s in training, which is the future of Pompey, Graham Snow from the Isle of Wight. And one more on Facebook, Tony Little. I reckon we will see now the potential that we've seen unfulfilled in players like Ben Close, Ryan Williams and John Marquis. They will finally be given a chance to flourish under the Cowleys. OK, before we do love you and leave you this evening, we're going to hear once more from the head coach, Danny Cowley, who caught up with Ollie Marsh at the training ground yesterday afternoon.
You may well be out without John Marquis, Ellis Harrison and Ronan Curtis through injury and international duty. Do you feel like you still have the attacking options that you need?
No, we have some challenges, there's no doubt, at the top end of the pitch, but we also have some really good players, and I think it's easy for managers to make excuses about injuries and about unavailability, but I'd much rather be a positive person and look at what I do have, and what we do have is some really good players, some fantastic quality at the top end with Ryan Williams, with Marcus Harness, with Michael Jacobs, you know, George Byas, Harvey White. So we have lots of good players at this football club, and like I said, we won't be the only club, particularly in an international break, that has some issues with regards to international duty. I think Shrewsbury lose their goalkeeper to Serbia under 21s, and we won't be the only team in this condensed season with some injury issues, and the job for all of us is to try to find a way to overcome that.
And in terms of more positive injury news, it was good to see Callum Johnson back out on the grass. Is he in contention for Saturday's game?
Yeah, well, it was really good to see Callum on the grass. Obviously, he wasn't able to train with us at the back end of last week, but he has been able to train with us this week. We think a lot of Callum. He's a fantastic athlete, very, very good offensively, but also knows his responsibilities from a defensive perspective. So he's a really good young player. And again, I look at him and we think that there's some add-ons that we can make. And already we've had some really good conversation with the players, trying to get to understand them, trying to get to know them. Like I said, trying to build that level of trust and respect. And I think once you do that and the players start to realise that you only have their very best interests at heart, then they become really open-minded and really keen to learn from you. And for us, we always try to look at the players. We never worry about what they can't do. We always worry about what they can do. And we look to try to add to that. And that's certainly what we've been trying to do with all the players.
Just finally, on a personal note, it's just over or just under a week since you arrived on the South Coast. How have you and Nicky been settling in?
Yeah, we've settled in really, really well. We moved out of the hotel, moved into a flat. It's been pretty much 24/7 for us, which is exactly how we like it. And do you know what? Just met some really, really good people at this football club. And that naturally, as a consequence of meeting really good people, you naturally are able to settle in that much quicker. And the support around us has just been brilliant. And the fact that we've got a really good group, really honest, hard-working, professional boys, their only ambition is to want to do well for this football club, has made it really easy. And had the chance chance last night to go and see the academy. Had to keep our distance a little bit because of obviously the world we're living in at the moment, but it was great to watch the young players play. I think we watched them, the under-9s, the under-10s and the under-11s, and then stayed and watched the older groups, the 12s, 13s and 14s, and it was lovely to see their energy and their passion for the game, and also to watch the coaches work with the young players in trying to make them better. So we've just tried to immerse ourselves in Portsmouth life, really, and we know that the quicker we can do that, the quicker we can get to understand the people, because ultimately it's the people's football club, and the quicker we get to understand them and what they want, then hopefully the quicker we can find some success and put some smiles on Portsmouth supporters' faces.
And you can listen back to that interview with the gaffer on tomorrow's matchday programme from 2 o'clock. Okay, let's get to some score predictions coming into us now. Ryan Lewis is going for a 2-1 Pompey win. On Facebook, Paul O'Neill says 2-1 to the Moo Army. Won't be an easy game. Shrewsbury, a decent side who've beaten a lot of the top sides in this division. Rebecca Green's going for a 1-0 Shrewsbury win. I think we've got an imposter amongst the camp. Pompey Tom on Facebook's going for a 2-1 Pompey win. Steve Till says it'll be 1-1, but then in the 89th minute we'll secure all 3 points. And that is just about it we've got in terms for score predictions tonight. Dean, we've heard from the fans back home, but what are you saying, mate? Pompey at Shrewsbury, your score prediction very quickly, please.
If you'd asked me half an hour ago, I would have said 1-1, but because I've had a beer, I'm going 2-1 Pompey.
And Freddie, what about yours, pal?
I'm going to go for a 1-0 Portsmouth win. Marcus Harness to score the goal.
Lovely stuff. Dean Adams, Freddie Webb, thank you both so much for joining me this evening. Have a great weekend, lads, and stay safe out there.
Pleasure, Jake. Thank you.
Cheers, Jack.
Cheers, lads. And for the record, I'm going to go for a 2-0 Pompey win this weekend. I'm confident of a win and also a clean sheet to boot as well. OK, you can join myself, Liam Howells and Ryan Stillwell for full build-up of this weekend's game. The Blues travel to Shrewsbury Town for their next League One encounter, and all of the unmissable action will be live from 2 o'clock right here on Express FM and I Follow Pompey.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
Portsmouth have found a way yet again!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Danny Cowley's era as Pompey head coach got off to the perfect start with a 2-1 win over Ipswich on Saturday.
Harness again, scores in the second attempt, and Marcus Harness has turned things around for Portsmouth.
Up next, Pompey travel to Shrewsbury Town for another big game in League One. Join us for all the unmissable action from 2 tomorrow.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
You won't want to miss it. Pompey back in action in League One. They take on Shrewsbury Town at the Montgomery Waters Meadow Stadium up in Shrewsbury. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff. Back to normal this weekend. Full coverage of that game, as you've just heard from Liam there, is from 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Okay, coming up tonight, Express Floor Fillers with Mason Jordan. He's sitting in for Connor Mosley this weekend, playing the biggest tunes to get you ready for this big weekend. And then from 11 p.m, we've got non-stop Express Floor Fillers all the way through until the early hours of Saturday morning. We've got a revisit of the victory years between 2 and 4 a.m. If you're still up around about that time, if you're a night owl or an insomniac, you can catch the victory years between 2 and 4 a.m. And then from 8 o'clock, Ian McGuinness returns with Saturday Breakfast. Ian's got news, weather, travel, sport, plus 4 from 40 from 1982, a clocks changing random top 5, and a movies update with John Brown. Lily Park is back from 11 o'clock with Saturday Fun, just great songs, the Tardy Quiz, and of course a couple of weekend bangers as well. And then of course it is the big one, Pompey Live from 2 o'clock, exclusive build-up, half-time analysis, post-match reaction and full live kick-by-kick commentary via Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham. So join us tomorrow afternoon from 2 o'clock to see if Danny Cowley can record his second victory in charge of the Blues. But until then, Pompey fans, have a great evening, enjoy your weekend and stay safe. Good night.